Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on a Sunday afternoon. Happy WrestleMania Sunday. Iron Guy and Randy Zellers coming at you today. As you know, no live events happening right now, but you do have WrestleMania upon us tonight, the second of two nights. Also, Ring of Honor has opened up their Honor Club a bit. They include G1 Supercard from last year at Madison Square Garden on the YouTube. So definitely check all that out. There's lots out there on the YouTube and on the streaming services if you need the wrestling fix and the current events of the world right now. But our guest is with us, and I want to bring him on right away. Very excited to have Northwest Pro referee Anthony Abbs with us. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. Glad to be there. Glad to be here.
Well, it is your first time with us, and being your first time, we're going to give you the traditional first-timer question. What led you to be in the business of professional wrestling?
Sure. Well, the best way I can say is had some connections, had some friends. I was able to meet J.D. Mason. And just through making those connections and meeting through J.D. Mason, I was able to get involved through Northwest Pro Wrestling. And that's where I started as a referee, where I'm still refereeing. So it was just through, meeting some connections, meeting J.D. Mason, and just making connections.
Going into it, were you familiar with either J.D. Mason as a wrestler or the local independent professional wrestling scene?
I'll be honest with you. J.D. Mason, vague. I had some vague knowledge. I knew a little bit about him. With the local independent wrestling scene, I've only attended a few shows, and so I had some really vague knowledge. So actually, I've been increasing my knowledge over the years, just since I started, but vague, some vague knowledge. I've been a fan of wrestling, though. I mean, just general professional wrestling since I was 1986. But locally, I'm learning.
Now, I remember back when J.D. Mason was a brand-new rookie in a tag team with Damon James. Damon James, at that time, went by Kid America and wore black trunks and black boots, while his partner J.D. Mason went to the ring in red, white, and blue attire. It was interesting times for wrestling. You had a vague knowledge of J.D. Where were you getting the input that you were from professional wrestling? Were you just hearing things around town? Had you seen matches on YouTube? How did you actually get the awareness that there was independent wrestling in the area?
Sure. Actually, I think you said that they're a combination. Just some matches around town, around the Kitsap area. Also through, I'd say through the YouTube videos, through Facebook. So it was a combination. It was a combination of things.
One of the things that you have been instrumental in doing in your time in wrestling is bringing what we in the wrestling business here in Washington call the school shows or the academy shows. We go to an academy there in the Tacoma area and put on a show for the students. These are usually very, very well received, and I know that you have a huge part in making this actually happen. Tell us a little bit about these shows and how you started the process of making them a reality.
Sure. So it's actually a place in Washington State called the Washington Youth Academy. And so for 6 years, I worked there as a school counselor. And Just through the connections and just through people I knew, just working there, I kind of had a thought, well, the kids, it's a great program, it's a military school for kids, for at-risk kids. And I was thinking, well, this would be something I think would be good to, it'd be good for the community and just good for the kids, almost like a good entertainment thing for the kids to see. They could actually see some professional wrestling live and in person. And one thing that I know about the kids there, they're very passionate. They care. And I knew that just having a show there, I knew that they would definitely be, they would be excited. They would be excitable. They would definitely cheer and boo loudly. And it would be fun. And it was just something fun for the wrestlers, too.
One of the things that is important to everyone that is involved in wrestling, be it wrestlers, referees, managers, what have you, is conditioning. If you aren't in good enough cardiovascular shape, you're going to have a very, very hard time lasting in pro wrestling. What are the things that you personally do to make sure that you're in shape enough to go out there and referee all these matches?
Sure. Several things. So I think what you said is cardio is good. So, you know, even if it's just moving, for myself, it's just getting constant movement, whether it's walking, constant movement, and making sure I'm moving my body. Another thing that I really enjoy doing is DDP yoga. It's a great program. I'm sure you've heard the wrestler Diamond Dallas Page. And what I really like about the program is it kind of increases flexibility, mobility, strength. But one of my biggest philosophies, not just wrestling, but in life, is just movement. Keep moving. And I think you said right there with cardio, I mean, the more you move and the more you use your body, I think the more use it gets. And so that's just one of my things, just constant movement.
Now, for people that aren't in shape and for the people that are in shape even, injuries are a part of the wrestling business. It's just the nature of what we do, and everyone that's going to be in it for any length of time is going to be injured at some point. What are some of the injuries that you've either experienced or have been part of as far as officiating the match where the injury occurred?
I can tell you some. So just a few matches. I can one of the things is when some of the wrestlers will take a fall or they'll fall, sometimes if it looks awkwardly, I'll ask them legitimately, you know, are you okay? Are you doing okay? I've had a few occasions where during a match, some wrestlers will tell me, hey, Anthony, I'm hurt. I'm really hurt. And so as a result, I've had to get them out and not just finish the match, but some of them, I've had to help them out. Some wrestlers have twisted their ankles. They've fractured their ankles. They've hurt their shoulders. They've hurt their ribs. Taking those falls and taking those bumps, they hurt just by watching. I could tell they hurt. And so I would say several times, at least it's happened almost twice a year. I've seen just some wrestlers hurt themselves. And I think one of the biggest things is communication, communicating. And then when, you know, especially when the wrestlers tell me they're hurt, if they're really hurt, then I need to pay attention and just, okay, whether it's ending the match, finishing it, let's make sure everybody's safe. Safety is very important.
I like to think so as well. One of the things that Northwest Pro had just a few months ago was an all cage match show. All the matches contested in the steel cage. And I believe there was an injury involved in that show as well. What was the experience like for you being part of an all-cage show?
Well, I thought it was fun. The injury, that part wasn't fun. I always hate it when someone gets hurt. Someone gets really hurt. Being part of an all-cage show, as a wrestling fan, because I'm still a wrestling fan at heart, I've always been a big fan of the cage matches. And so to actually referee in a cage – with a ring, a lot of fun, unpredictable, you never know what's going to happen, But a lot of fun. I enjoy those shows. Just not the injury.
I concur with you there, and I was there for that injury as well. It wasn't a very pleasant time at the office.
No, no.
In a similar vein, oftentimes in pro wrestling, blood is going to occur. In 2020, it is a debatable topic among people in the business. Some people think there is no longer a place for blood in wrestling. Some people think it should be very sparingly. Some people think that there should be blood on every show. We know a lot more about the actual health risk involved and things like that. Certain states have commissions set up to monitor things of that nature to make sure things are as healthy as possible. Some places do not have that. In your own opinion, where do you stand on the issue of blood as it relates to pro wrestling in 2020?
Sure. I think, in my opinion, it depends on the occasion. It really depends on the occasion and the situation. I mean, personally, to have blood in almost every situation, not a fan of it. I think, as you said, there can be some potential health risks. There's some potential health risks. I think, it can be a problem. I think I think it really depends on the situation. I mean, personally, I'm not a fan of the big gore, like gore fests and people bleeding buckets, and I'm not a fan of that. But like I said, it just really depends. For example, if I'm thinking like a really big situation and someone's head is slammed against the ring post. Okay. Depending on the situation, it may call for a little bit of blood. But I wouldn't say on a regularly daily basis. That, I'm not down with that.
Fair enough. Now, you also were a part of Northwest Pro's annual hardcore tournament. There was some blood on that show, but it was unique as well, not only because all the matches were hardcore, obviously, but it was a show held outdoors. Outdoor shows are pretty prevalent in wrestling, depending on the season and depending on the location that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
They present their own set of unique circumstances in putting a show outdoors as opposed to an indoor venue. What's your own feeling on outdoor wrestling shows as a general rule?
I don't mind them. I think it's a good opportunity to get to a different crowd of an audience. I think one thing that would help with the outdoor shows is just promotion, promoting the shows, letting people be aware, hey, we've got a show so-and-so. Yes, the hardcore tournament, I remember doing that. But I think my opinion, it's fun. It's an opportunity to get to a different group of audience, different group of people. But I think one of the biggest keys is promotion and word of mouth, letting people be aware that there is a show.
Now, in that regard, one of the things that has become very, very important in the last several years is social media. A lot of promotions use social media as their main means to promote. Some companies even use it as the sole means to promote shows. Obviously, for not only wrestling promotions, but the individual talent themselves have been able to build their names and their reputations more with the advent of social media. Do you think that, by and large, that wrestling promotions and wrestlers and other talent have fully grasped how to best use social media to their advantage, or do you think it's still an ongoing issue where a lot of companies and a lot of talent haven't totally mastered it?
I think it's the latter. I think it's an ongoing issue, and I think it's something where, in my mind, I think there's always room for improvement. And so, again, I think when it comes to promoting and social media, I would put myself in a fan's shoe, just a simple fan's shoe. Like I would ask myself, who is this promotion? Who are these wrestlers? Why should I come? Why should I watch? How am I aware of it? We know that a lot of people rely on social media. People look at people have their Facebooks, their Twitters, their Instagrams. Okay, so are people aware? Because if people aren't using social media, I mean, yeah, you could do newspaper ads or you could do word of mouth, but how many people are really going to be aware that there's an event going on? So I think my thought was put yourself in the shoes of a fan. And I would ask myself a question. Is the fan aware that there's an event going on?
And hopefully the local scene is going to definitely be picking up when the wrestling events resume and more of them will be aware of the shows and be coming to see us.
I'm hoping so.
Oh, definitely. Yes, I think we all are hoping for that. One of the more forgotten aspects of pro wrestling these days tends to be the wrestling managers. On the national level, there's just a very small handful compared to, say, 20 to 30 years ago. At the independent level, we have more of them, but it seems like a role that is not being utilized to the proper potential, perhaps. I know at Northwest Pro, you do see some very, very good managers. You've been out there when managers have been involved and perhaps trying to distract you from the task at hand. What do you think about the role of managers as it relating here in 2020?
Good question. Well, just a little history. And just like I said, I've been a fan since 86. And so from a fan's perspective, I was always a huge fan of Jim Cornette, Bobby Heenan, Paul E. Dangerously, now Paul Heyman. So I've always been a big fan of the managers. My thoughts on the role, there's several things. You could say mouthpiece. Of course, some wrestlers, they can be a good mouthpiece for the wrestlers. They can add to, I still, in my mind, if used right, they can use to add drama. They can use to add drama to a match. They can make a match exciting. Gosh, as a referee for me, I won't lie. It makes my job a little harder. You're right. We do have some pretty good managers in Northwest Pro, and yeah, they make my job a little tough. But you know what? It keeps me moving.
One of the more prominent managers that we've had at Northwest Pro for the last couple of years is Polychromatic. She has gotten very, very good at what she does, but she tends to want to draw the attention from the action in the ring to herself, even if it's the official that has his attention diverted. Have you had many interactions and run-ins with Polychromatic?
I gotta say, I'll admit, she does make my job a little bit tough when I'm reffing, and she can distract me. She distracts me quite a bit. Sometimes I'm trying to call a match down the middle, and she distracts. I will say, though, that talent-wise, just by watching, I mean, even before a match, she's very good at getting the microphone and whipping the crowd into a frenzy. I've seen that many times. When she talks, people listen. People listen, people get in. But, man, hard to call a match fairly. Sometimes I've been told I've missed a few things in a few matches. I can't say if it's because she's distracted me completely, but I can say that, I will say this with Polly. When she's in there with Chuck and with the other wrestlers, definitely cannot ignore not just Polly, but you can't ignore Chuck or the other wrestlers that she's with. You just can't, because you know that, something's going to happen.
Here's a helpful hint that I've learned over the last few shows. you can throw the direction of distraction back at her by pointing out cleverly written signs that the fans have brought. That takes your mind off things for a few minutes, and that way you can get back to your task at hand.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good little tip.
Sometimes there's signs about Paulie stealing a hot dog or something out in the crowd. Distracts her from what she's trying to do for a few moments.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. What I can say is this. I could say that Chuck and the other wrestlers in the House of Pain are very fortunate to have a talent such as Paulie with them. And you know who she reminds me of? I was just thinking about. Some of you guys might remember the manager, Sherry, Sensational Sherry, from the old WWF, WCW days.
Exactly, yeah.
Reminds me a lot. It reminds me a lot. Now, you know, I appreciate the advice. I'll definitely keep that in mind. I can, one thing, like I said, though, earlier, she does, when she comes out to the ring with the wrestlers, I already know that, okay, I'm going to have my hands full.
Definitely, I feel the same way whenever I'm assigned a match that she's involved with at Northwest Pro. But right now, our new co-host is standing by, and he has questions for you as well. I believe you know Randy Zellers.
Oh, hello, Randy. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Anthony? How you doing, man?
Good, good, good. How are you?
Oh, hey, man. Hey, when I heard that I was going to be doing an interview with you, I had to remember about small town wrestling. Remember that?
Yeah. It was okay if I could share on the air. Yes.
Share that, because that's,
yes,
man.
So Randy and I have known each other. Almost 25 years as kids. And so known each other as kids. We would kind of remember. I've been a fan since '86, and so we would just do a lot of play wrestling, neighborhood wrestling, and we made our own little promotion called Small Town Wrestling. And one thing I can always say, back then, Randy was always formidable. No surprise that he's one of the top stars in the NWP.
Man, hey, I'll tell you this much. My very first gimmick match was with Anthony Abs, the four-corner strap match.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was one of my first gimmick matches until I got to NWP, where I got to have more gimmick matches and more opportunities over there than I did anywhere else, so to say. But yeah, and I have to say, like, with Anthony here, he was my wrestling guru. I mean, a lot of people that don't know what a guru is, he always had the information. Like any questions that you had about wrestling, Anthony was the answer. Anthony always had the answer. I can remember countless times that I would actually go to his house and ask for ECW video content. And I was binge watching from Eastern Championship Wrestling when I was shocked to see Jimmy Snuka as a heel. Yeah, it's crazy to where Sabu, Chris Benoit, the forbidden name, Chris Benoit, and Sabu, wrestled each other, and Chris Benoit broke Sabu's neck. And all the way from,
I remember
all those. Yes, Douglas. Oh, go ahead, man.
I think one thing that for me over the years that I can always say is that I've always been a fan of wrestling all styles, whether it's local independent. I've watched the Japanese hardcore matches. I've seen the ultra violent death matches, which are extreme. I love the old All Japan Pro Wrestling stuff from the 80s and 90s, the New Japan Pro Wrestling stuff. Fans of the NWA Jim Crockett years from the 80s. There's still stuff from Jim Crockett years from the 70s, WWF years. I will make a little confession here. I grew up as a kid as a Hulkamaniac, and I still have my Hulk Hogan wrestling buddy. I was a fan of all the Dusty Rhodes, Road Warriors things. For some of you guys who may not know who I am, Randy and the host, Jason, you could probably verify for this. I am a little bit of a wrestling belt mark, so I do kind of like to collect a few wrestling belts here and there.
Facts. Yes.
It kind of gives me a good reminder of that era.
Yeah. But to tell you the truth, I mean, without those belts, those are heritage, and those are like, you know, one of those things that, you know, when, as you were as a kid, you always wanted to touch one of them. But as we got older, we started making money and stuff and started buying these replicas. It's like the real thing.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, a few questions to ask you though. I mean, you was a fan of the FMW wrestling era. Yeah.
Right, the Onita. You know, it's funny.
Yes.
As a kid, I was for a brief time as a kid, and so I did like it, and then I think what happened was over the years, it's just that my tastes expanded. So, yes, as a kid, I thought, oh, my gosh, exploding barbed wire. Oh, whoa, you know, Miss Romita. But then what happened was I started watching more and more besides, you know, ECW. And then, oh, my gosh, there's Jim Crockett stuff. And then there's Ring of Honor. And as I said over the years, just learning different things, local independent promotions. Oh, there's NWP.
Yeah.
A lot of things just kind of opened up. Mid-South. And it's just – I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's something that I've kind of, you know, I peeked at here and there, but not so much of a fan these days.
Yep. Do you think that the territories, or actually, here's a question for you. If Hollywood ever got a hold of the wrestling territory stories and actually made a movie out of it, who do you think as an actor would play Jim Cornette?
Oh no! Oh my gosh!
Multiple questions on this drive-through, and no questions answered. And that was like 3 years ago, and one last year.
Gosh, who could play Jim Cornette? Oh man, that is a hard question. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. I'm just trying to think who would be able to play Jim Cornette. I think a better question is
who would be as passionate. Yeah, because I mean, if it was the directors from, you know, Straight Outta Compton and stuff like that, they really did a really good, you know, story on that. But just having a story of the South and their territory, or like who would play like the Rock and Roll Express, or I mean any kind of big name in the South, even the Midnight Express, even.
In my mind, you can't really have an actor. I mean, Cornette, I love listening to Jim Cornette's podcast, by the way. I listen to his podcast regularly. I would say you can't. I think he'd have to play himself.
I mean, either that or, you know what? I mean, for a person that has the mouth and the passion, I mean, it could be either an actor or a wrestler or any wrestler in the Pacific Northwest. I would say a perfect Jim Cornette that would actually play him to the T is Thomas Swanson.
Hmm.
The old promoter, I mean, the promoter from Cascade Championship Wrestling.
Yeah. possibly, but I'm just thinking that with Cornette, though,
I mean,
you'd have
Cornette
to really talk a mile a minute. You'd have to get yourself red in the face. I don't think Thomas wants to take that scaffold bump that Cornette did for Circuit 86.
But I'll tell you this much.
I don't know. Cornette's a hard one, though. With respect to Thomas,
Cornette,
I mean, Cornette's a hard one to do.
Yep. Cornette, I mean, who else, like Jim Crockett or Dusty Rhodes, because or even Ric Flair, because those were one of the top guys in the territory days that was outside of the World Wrestling Federation.
Mm-hmm. I think, man, a tough one with Flair is a tough one too. Who could play Flair?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's a hard one too. I couldn't think of anyone really.
Yeah, or even like the Von Erichs. I mean, ain't no one can compare it to. I mean, everyone played their part and everyone played their position in the territory days. But do you think that the territories are still like going on just because, you know, the territories have died down, but do you think they've risen back up again? With social media? Yeah, with social media and stuff like that. And
I think,
like,
I look at it this way is with the territories and social media. Yeah, of course, now you can call them independents, but.
Yeah,
I guess in my mind, I kind of like independence and territories almost the same. You know,
yeah,
it's almost the same thing in a way. Do I think they've risen up? Yeah. Now, will they have like their own television show and you know, television station? I don't think it's going to go to that type of era again. But if you're thinking territories in the sense of independence, just something where they do their own thing, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, it won't really die off.
All right. Well, that is cool because, I mean, just like, Von Washington, there's always, there'll be NWP that's in Von Washington. I mean, I know NWP tried doing some stuff in Bremerton, but it just didn't really work out, didn't really pan out over in Bremerton, and that's my neck of the woods, and I was actually highly disappointed in that. But to tell you the truth, I'm always happy, and I'm always glad that we also got the Academy. And those kids, I don't know what's up with those kids, but they just really light me up because those kids just enjoy themselves, brings a little tear to my eye because I see those kids working their tails off just to get a wrestling show, and I'm just imagining what can they do once they get done doing. I'm not saying their time, but I just hope that they make the best of their military school. You know what I mean?
And usually when they come out of it, I mean, they come out of it a totally changed people. I'll tell you this. One of my favorite matches I've ever ref for myself as an NWP ref was, I can even tell you exactly what it was. It was around 2016 springtime. Jeff Orcutt and Chuck Payne went against J.D. Mason. Or excuse me, I got it wrong. J.D. Mason and Jeff Orcutt against Chuck Payne and Adam Reyes. And I'll tell you, refereeing that match, it was great because there not only was there so much heat in the match, but some of my students, some of the female cadets, they were actually starting to cry. They were actually believing that JD was starting to get hurt. So they were actually in tears, going hysterical, for real. Not just like playing along with things, but just actually getting really hysterical to the point where in class I had to tell them the next few days later, JD's okay. He's okay. He didn't break his leg because they really thought they were going
to
break his leg.
You
they believed.
So
that was the key.
That.
They believed.
Yeah,
but that was massive. Because
it,
but that's the thing
I think
is missing, I think, in wrestling and today is just believability. Just believe. Because when I ref that match, those female students, they believed They believed that JD was getting hurt. They believed that JD was getting screwed out. They believed that, oh, JD's taking a beating. And I think that's the one thing is when I'm reffing a match or just watching a crowd is, even when I'm watching any type of match, doesn't matter if it's national,
yep,
or local, independent, the question I ask myself is, do I believe? Do I believe in this? Is this drawing my attention?
Yeah.
Simple question I'd ask myself is this.
Yep.
Sorry. One thing I'd ask myself is this. In June, hopefully in June, this summer, hopefully, this world issue is calms down a bit, NWP gets a chance, we may have the opportunity to actually have matches, shows where we could sell tickets, we could sell. And so a question to ask is this. I mean, you got to ask yourself as a fan, why should I go to an NWP show? Why should I pay money to see Randy Zellers? Why should I pay money to see JD Mason? Why should I pay money to see Polly or Chuck Payne? Heck, why should I even see that little scrub Anthony Abs ref? Like, why should I spend my hard-earned money watching these guys?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Out of Randy Zellers, the reason why you want to come to an NWP show and pay your hard-earned money is to see someone like Randy Zellers there pouring out his heart, his commitment, and his loyalty to not only to Northwest Pro, but also to his sport, to his craft, his sacrifices that he had made to get him to where he is today. And, like, it's like someone like Polly Pramatic, like, she is that heel manager that you want her to hate you. I mean, she wants you to hate her. And seeing that little teenage girls want to beat her up, that's right there is where she is actually doing her job right. And JD Mason, like, the reason why you want to go see JD Mason is because you want to see him go toe-to-toe with anybody. And the way that dude wrestles, he is going to display storytelling after story after story after story. And Anthony Abs is right smack dab in the middle to ref it, to see it all, and to call it right down the middle, no matter who is the super heel versus heel, or baby face versus super baby face, or you got that clashes, super baby face versus super heel. Who is going to be the dominant one? But you got Anthony Abs, you got Sign Guy, you got Puppy, or you got any other person out there that'll call that match right straight down the middle. Or even Y.T. Jones, if it really gets down and dirty about it.
You gave me a quote there. I'm thinking about the old Bill Alfonso with myself and referees. We call it right down the middle, Daddy.
Yep, call it right down the middle, because guess what? No matter who wins, who loses, at least the refs can go home and be like, well, I called it right down the middle. I'm not losing any sleep over this. Maybe a person that lost or a person that won who is basking in his glory like Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, shoot, hey. Well, but hey, Anthony, it was great talking to you, and it was great hearing from you. But to tell you the truth, I'm going to go ahead and pass you over to the next man.
Okay.
Because I know
he's
got
you.
Some questions for you.
Sure.
Thank you, Randy. But I believe we have a mystery caller on the line, so let's bring on our mystery caller. Do you have a question for Anthony Abs?
Yes, this is the first time I've called in to this show, and I listened to what Randy said about Janice and Neff. I believe if you could time travel, the person to play Jim Cornette, if you could time travel to the 70s, would be Lamont Sanford.
I never thought about that.
And the next choice would be Aunt Esther. Esther.
Okay.
Okay.
There's some ideas.
Well, Anthony, did you know that the world record for sit-ups is 45,000 in a 5-hour and 58-minute segment for an average of 12.8 sit-ups per minute? Did you know this?
Was it Angelo Poffo that did that?
I'm not sure. I think I'm. No, I know it wasn't.
Okay.
45,000. Yes. Okay.
Wow.
Have you?
That is impressive.
Have you ever considered calling yourself Captain Crunch?
Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Well, I would have to dye my hair gray, and I might have to grow out my beard. And, you know, if I called myself Captain Crunch, I would also probably need a captain's outfit. And I'd have to work on my repertoire moves. Maybe I could give my finisher the splash. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Anthony, if you look on a regular Captain Crunch cereal box, the captain is not wearing true captain insignia, which is four bars on his shoulders. I think he's wearing admiral stripes, which is like one big fat stripe and a thin one, just for your information.
Okay.
Not true. Okay.
Captain,
okay.
Captain Crunch. I like it. I like it.
Anthony, do you yourself do ab work in the morning?
Oh, sorry, the phone's cutting off. Can you say that again, please?
Do you yourself do ab work in the morning?
Actually, a little bit. I do DDP yoga. Sometimes I have no choice. I got two young youngins, and so I play with my kids. And so sometimes, involuntarily, voluntarily, yes, I work my abs. They like to jump on me. I have two younger ones, 5 and a 7-year-old, so they like to jump on me. So sometimes, whether I like it or not, I do get an ab workout.
Okay. All right. Well, Anthony, you spoke to Sign Guy earlier about polychromatic. As a mystery guest, I would like to take this opportunity to say, polychromatic, return your wardrobe to FAO Schwartz in New York.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. She has some colorful outfits. I can say that.
Anthony, you said she reminds you of Sensational Sherry. I'm reminded when I look at polychromatic of Mae Young. Yes.
Oh. Well, I will say this about Mae Young. She lived a long life, and even her old age, I will say this, though. Mae Young did live a long life, and in her old age, she did kick a little bit of, I'm not allowed to say a bad word, I'll just say butt. She did a little butt in her old age.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as looks wise, I'm not gonna, I won't go there with looks or anything.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, Anthony, I have two statistics about two separate WrestleManias, WrestleMania 30 and WrestleMania 24. I'm going to give you a little bit of outlines of each, and then I'm going to ask you which one you would prefer. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Now, the two WrestleManias I'm going to compare and contrast are WrestleMania 30 and WrestleMania 24. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. WrestleMania 30th took place on April 6, 2014 at the Superdome in New Orleans. Daniel Bryan defeated Triple H in the first match to qualify for the Triple Threat main event match, where he defeated Batista, defending champ Randy Orton, to become the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. In another event at WrestleMania 30, The Undertaker's 21-0 undefeated streak at WrestleMania came to an end with a loss to Brock Lesnar. The three official theme songs for WrestleMania 30 were Celebrate by Kid Rock, Legacy by Eminem, and In Time by Mark Coley. At WrestleMania 30, the New Age Outlaws, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, and Kane faced The Shield, which comprised of Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. The Shield got the victory. And John Cena, WrestleMania 30, got a win over Bray Wyatt. Now, WrestleMania 24 took place at the Florida Citrus Bowl in Miami, Florida. One of the first matches was a singles match from the ECW brand in which Kane defeated ECW champ Chavo Guerrero for the ECW title. Another match at 24 was a triple threat match that saw Randy Orton, the Viper, defeat challengers Triple H and John Cena. The Undertaker defeated SmackDown's World Heavyweight Champion, Edge, and in WrestleMania 24, in a no-DQ match, boxing champ Floyd Money Mayweather defeated the Big Show. And in a retirement match, Shawn Michaels defeated Ric Flair. Now, if you compare and contrast WrestleMania 30 and 24, the cards, which one would you prefer?
Very good question. Well, I won't lie to you. When it comes to the WrestleMania 24 one with Flair with the retirement match, that was emotionally gripping. That grabbed me emotionally. I think the WrestleMania 30 match, or I should say matches, with Daniel Bryan and going against Triple H and the Triple Threat match, I think that was emotional release after months of frustrations and just, oh gosh, where is this ankle going? Tough one, because I always thought in my mind at WrestleMania 24, I thought Flair should have he should have won he should have won at 17th and then retired. That's just my opinion as a fan. I didn't like that Floyd Mayweather beat the Big Show. I didn't like that at all. I would probably go with 30. I'd say with 30. I think there was the shock with the streak ending, the Daniel Bryan matches. Both were good events, but I would go with 30. That's my pick.
Okay. All right. Well, at the WrestleMania 24, the announcers were Michael Cole, Jonathan Coachman, Jerry Lawler, Jim Ross, and Taz. And for WrestleMania 30, the commentators were Michael Cole, John Bradshaw Layfield, and Jerry Lawler. They had a kind of like a shortened commentator for WrestleMania 30. Commentating-wise, which one would you prefer?
Good one. Good. I would probably say, actually, you know, I don't mind JBL as much. I probably would have gone with the 30. I probably would have gone with the 30, WrestleMania 31.
All right, so we got a 30-30, okay. Well, now for ring announcers for WrestleMania 30, you had Lillian Garcia, Justin Roberts, and Howard Finkel. But for WrestleMania 24, you had ring announcers William Regal, Howard Finkel, Theodore Long, Lillian Garcia, Tony Shamal, and Armando Asensio. Which one would you give the edge to as far as ring announcers?
30. I think 24 had way too many people.
Yeah, they had the bigger lineup. Okay. So, all right, Anthony, you had a clean sweep at WrestleMania 30 over 24. Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay.
My opinions.
Well, Anthony, you also told Sign Guy early in the show that your life philosophy is to keep moving physically. My question is, how do you keep moving mentally? Do you take math classes at the local community college and do quadratic equations?
Good question. I'd say when I keep thinking about keep moving, that's a good question. Physically, but I would say mentally, I kind of think more of the mentally, socially, and emotionally part, because I think one thing you would agree, everyone would agree, is life, things happen to us, whether it's good or bad. The good things happen, bad things happen. And it's really easy to become either complacent or just kind of sit in your butt and say, okay, woe is me, what's going on? My thought is, as far as mentally keep moving, is you got to keep moving. I mean, we can't change the past. We could always control our present. And with our future, we have that power to change our future. And so when I'm thinking about keep moving, it's just exactly what I'm thinking is keep moving. Things, you know, there's always today and tomorrow. That's how I look at it.
Well, all right. That's very, very good words. All right. Okay. Well, as a mystery caller, I would like to take this opportunity to say that polychromatic should also keep moving. Now,
yeah. No, I can tell you're not a poly fan.
No, I'm not. She should slip on a banana peel. That's my opinion. Yes. Banana peel. Or get hit by a banana peel that has been dipped in liquid nitrogen. That would be better. Yes.
Oof.
Make it rock.
fighting words, brother. Fighting words.
Yes. At this time, I would like to give it back over to Sun Guy.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Caller. It sounded like QT Vokes. Now, Anthony, we've got a few minutes left in the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say in closing to the listeners, plug and promote whatever you want, social medias, merchandise, any planned upcoming appearances, your favorite donut shop, anything you want, the floor is all yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just want to say thank you for listening into the show. I know NWP, we've got some potential shows coming up this summer, hopefully starting in June. We'll probably be starting up some, probably start charging, but I can agree, and I can definitely say that it's going to be worth the money for sure. Being involved in the business for me is it's fun. It's humbling. It's fun. I'm just honored just to be just a ref, just to do some refereeing stuff. Some of my heroes have always been Dave and Earl Hebner, WCW Mark Curtis, Tommy Young. A lot of referees I've always tried to follow their style, but I just want to say those who have been listening, and thank you for listening, taking the time to listen to me, and also, those who have watched me, thank you for watching, putting up with me. Hope to create many more memories, and I got to tend to my kids here shortly, but I just want to say thank you so much for your time, guys.
It's been our pleasure having you on the show, and hopefully you continue to stay safe in the light of the current events. And fans, definitely enjoy WrestleMania Part 2 today. Enjoy G1 Supercard. If you want to check that out on the YouTube, they just put that up a little while ago. Streaming services out there for sure. Lots of them available, so you can still get some pro wrestling, even if you can't be there in person to see it. And we will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we'll have Darkness on the show, continuing Freak Show Month. And then 1 week from this very day, Julie Winters out of Alaska will be joining us. She was Alaska's first female wrestler. Should be very interesting with her on the show. So join us then, and we will talk to you very soon.